It's still not on. That's that one. That's you. That's it.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, wow. That was your introduction.
That was me.
Yeah. That's all you're getting.
Yeah,
it's Diane. Woo!
Okay. Thank you. Good morning. I've really been enjoying Alan's last few sermons because I think the whole here's all the things that I wish I'd said before and then I'm going to tell you and then run away.
Still one
it's
more to come.
An interesting tactic. If I gave you a suggestion, would you include it? Bad idea. It's like, why don't you just say it then? I'm like, okay. So I'm now going to say something run away as well. So some of you may know today's our wedding anniversary as well. Significant day, all right. 31 glorious.
That's the word you're looking
years
for.
Years of marriage.
You were struggling a wee bit, but I know that that's what you're looking for.
31 glorious years of marriage, and a bit of on and off and on again before that. We'll not go into details.
Just keep going.
So Alan and I's first big theological argument, I mean, we had a few arguments about a whole load of things, but our first big theological argument was after we'd been here, somebody preached in Isaiah 61, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the good news to the poor and release captives and heal all that. And we'd been out, and we both came out going, yeah, that's what it's all about. And he was coming out saying, yeah, that's what it's all about. We've got to preach the good news. And I'm like, yeah, but there's no point in preaching the good news if folk can't hear you over their stomach rumbling. We've got to do stuff. And so we had this big argument about what was more important. Now, of course, all you wise, theologically sound people will know that it's actually two sides of the same coin, that both are important. We need both. But that's, I guess that's a bit that I want to leave with you today. Proclamation must be married with declaration. With demonstration, sorry. Proclamation and demonstration. We need to speak it out. We need to speak out the good news, but we need to show it. We need to demonstrate it. We need to carry the kingdom where we go. It was interesting that Stephen was in Matthew 13 last week. I love Matthew 13. There's all these little kingdom parables, all these nuggets. And so the two little nuggets I just want to bring to your attention, the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the yeast. And I think that says something to us about how we are as a church, but carrying kingdom. The parable of the yeast talks about the woman who kneaded the yeast through the bread and it spread through the whole loaf and the loaf rose. And I think there's something about us as a church going out into the community, carrying the kingdom with us, yeast of the kingdom, bringing kingdom characteristics, kingdom into the community around us. And so for those of you who have done exactly that, who are on the community council, special blessing to you, but who are involved in the schools or who are involved in the community centre here or who are involved in community projects out there, you don't need a Christian version of everything. You need to be Christians in everything. Take the kingdom out, be the yeast of the kingdom and take it out into the community. But equally, as a church, we're called to create that mustard seed space. Again, the parable says that the seed planted, it's the least of all seeds, but it grew into a great tree, and all the birds of the air came and nested in its branches. There is something about the church creating a space for all the birds of the air, all the people of the community, everyone around, that they can come and feel safe and be welcomed and be part of this community that we've created here. That we welcome, that we make space for. There's a theologian, this is going to make me sound showing off a wee bit, but I'm not, I do read stuff. There's a theologian called Miroslav Volf, who's a Croatian and grew up during the Balkan Wars and saw what racism and religious bigotry did and the damage that it wrought in his country. And he talks about this idea about God making space before there was any judgment of who we are and any kind of construction of our character and our nature before, as we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus made space for us before we were bad or good or Christian or anything. Jesus made space for us. And so I think there is something in that parable of the mustard seed that grew into a tree that all the birds of the air could come and find space and sanctuary and safety in its branches. So, proclamation and demonstration. So really all I want to leave you with is don't forget to do both. Don't forget to look outwards and into the community. Don't forget to serve and bless those round about us and not just feed our own spiritual souls and become fat spiritual Christians and not actually work out into the community and work out where to the people round about us. Because without proclamation and demonstration, we only have half a gospel.
That's good. Thank you, Dan. Probably should have let her speak more often, don't I think? So let's read together from Isaiah 61. If you have your Bibles, then it's chapter 61, verse 1. We're just going to read the first few verses. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy, instead of mourning, a garment of praise, instead of a spirit of despair, they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Diane, of course, was wrong. So she kind of kept on sort of saying, well, of course, we need to kind of like, there's no point in feeding them. And I'm kind of going, but they're going to go to hell if they don't understand the gospel. Because I used to speak like that. I don't know why, but I did. And she would sort of say, yes, but you'll never be able to speak to them unless you actually feed them. And I'm going, that's not true. I've talked to some people over here, and they've never had the chance. Mostly they're running away from me at the moment as I speak to them. You're going to go to hell. No, we don't do that. The thing I do want to sort of say is, I'm going to come on to the sort of theme of the kingdom of God in a minute, as Diane's already kind of touched on, but I do want to sort of say this, that actually the thing that caused us to fight was this. I am absolutely convinced and clear that there is no other way by which anyone can be saved but through Jesus Christ. Not because of the fact that I hold that conviction, but because Jesus himself holds that conviction. He has spoken so clearly. He said in John 14, 6, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Later on in Acts, it says, you know, there is no other name by which men can be saved. And I want you, and in one sense, you know, I'm not leaving without saying this. You know, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have not experienced his love and power, if you do not know the way, the truth, and the life, if you haven't encountered what it is for you to experience that actually the brokenness of life and the destruction that kind of comes with all of that can be healed and restored by this amazing man, Jesus, who comes to give you hope and life, then today is the day of salvation. And I would encourage you that you would not hold back, but that you would take the opportunity and you would say yes to Jesus today. I would invite you to do that with all my heart because listen, we are going to feed you, okay? So we're going to feed you. Here's the good news, right? The food's coming. But I suppose one of the things, you know, as we were thinking about what we would say today, one of the things that we're trying to kind of like, you know, what are the last things to say? So the last things to say are just don't forget the gospel. Don't forget the power of the good news. Don't forget that actually it is all about Jesus. It is all about people coming to faith. It is absolutely about pursuing the last and the lost. It is, and yes, it is about demonstrating it. It is about showing what it looks like and then beginning to explain to people what they're encountering when they experience the love of God, when they come into a place and they begin to weep and they don't understand why they come in here and they weep. And it's because the presence of God is here. And you're kind of going, why is it I feel like this? And I'm kind of going, it's because the love of God is melting your heart. And you don't understand that. And then we begin to explain it to you. And then you kind of go, that's amazing. And then you can experience it for yourself. So please do not forget the gospel. Please do not forget to kind of keep pressing out. Keep pressing into the places where actually you don't just do the demonstration stuff. The demonstration stuff has to be married to the proclamation stuff. You need to speak about Jesus day by day. You need to tell your stories. And listen, it's your stories that will be the most powerful things. You don't have to have the greatest answers. You don't have to have sorted out all your theological whatevers. It doesn't matter. That is not what matters. What matters is this, that you, because of how God has impacted your life, you have the story. You tell your story. You tell your story of how God has rescued you. I know that there's lots and lots of you who have been rescued, who have been healed, who have been restored, who have been given hope, who have been given purpose. Tell those stories and say, it's Jesus. How did this happen in your life? People look at you and they kind of go, how did this happen in your life? You weren't like this before. And you kind of go, it was Jesus. I found out that he's real. I discovered that he's actually, you know, he's real and he wants to be in my life. And he's alive. He's alive and he does things. You know, he actually changes people's lives. So come on. So I want to please encourage you. If you have not yet given your life to Jesus, I just want to take a moment and I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask you just in your heart to respond to the Lord. And I'm going to ask that you just say yes to him. So Lord Jesus, We come to you and we know that you are the one who can give life. You are alive. You give life. You are the one who makes a way. You wash away our sins. We confess to you our sins, Lord God. We confess that we know that we've screwed up. We know that we've broken our lives. We know that there are things that aren't right. We know that we cannot fix it ourselves. And we've tried. And yet we have failed. And so we come to you, the one who promises to give life in all its fullness. The one who promises life in all eternal. We come to you and we invite you to come and to cleanse us of our sins today. Wash us fresh today. Wipe away everything that is there, every broken part. Just take it away, Lord Jesus. We need you. And we invite you into our life. Come in as our Savior to save us and to transform us. Come in as our Lord, though, to give us the direction and the guidance and the path on which to walk. Come in, Lord Jesus, by your Holy Spirit. We welcome you now, Holy Spirit. Come and be with us. And we ask that from this day onwards, that this divine exchange of our life for your life, this divine exchange would release the kingdom of God in our life, the fullness of life in our life, would release healing, would release strength and confidence and clarity of identity and all the other things that you bring. And so, Lord God, we ask that you do this because we love you and because you have loved us. We bless you now in Jesus' name. Amen. So the thing that Diane was talking about was this. We need to make sure that we embed the kingdom of God in White Inch. We need to make sure. So the question must always be, if the church here in White Inch was whisked off to disappear into somewhere nice and sunny, not White Inch, it's nice and sunny today. If we just disappeared and there was no church left, that the community would be bereft. They would be absolutely lost because actually the church is so fundamentally an agent of kingdom transformation, of breaking in the kingdom of God, that actually the community would kind of go, without the church we cannot function. It's not going to work. It can't work. Now, the reality is that we're not there. We know that. We're not pretending. We know that. But what I want to say is this, that we need to work towards that. We need to work towards so that actually, when we're talking about the nature of the kingdom of God, when we actually sort of saying, you know, here's the good news, this is Jesus, he's alive, yes, that's true, that actually what we do is we think about what does it look like for us to actually see the kingdom of God established in this community in deep and significant ways that will impact the whole of the community. One of the most important things we've done over the years is we've tried to respond to the needs of the community. We've tried to listen to the community and respond and sort of say, right, okay, this is what the community needs. So one of the things that they needed was they needed a new community building. This building that we're sitting standing in, it wasn't here before. Those houses over there used to be the old neighborhood center. We met there when we started the church here in White Inch. And actually what happened was that the roof fell in that one, and then they didn't have a community building. And then and the church thought, what does the kingdom of God look like in this, in White Inch? And the answer is, it looks like the church investing ourselves in a community space, community building, so that life would come again, so that this, so that there would be a hub for regeneration and employment and, you know, and life skills and all the other things that actually happen in this place, that there would be a place for recovery, that there would be a place for people being able to kind of come and actually finding that they are known and loved. So what did we do? We invested our time and effort in that time, in that thing. And look, you know, we're in a building. And it's significant. And although, and we're not the only ones that use this building, lots of other people use this building. What am I saying though? What I'm saying is that by listening to the community and leaning into the space that they actually, their needs. I mean, did we kind of needed a space to meet. Yes, we needed that. But actually, we could have built a church building. We talked about that. We could have decided to do that, but we decided not to do that because we wanted to lean into the community, to embed the gospel here in this place. We came across all sorts of different folks who are struggling with different issues in terms of their well-being, their mental health, and all the rest of it. And so we've had over the years, you know, we've had, you know, an investment in counseling and inner healing and all the things that you guys who have been involved in that have done. Why? Because we listened to our community and we said, you know, we need to actually bless our community. The kingdom of God has resources that nobody else has. You know, we have the ability to release the life of God into people's lives in ways that nobody else can do, obviously. And so we pushed into healing. We pushed into kind of counseling. We pushed into creating that space. Healing for the Heart is now up and running and serving in that space. Why? Because we listened to the community and we embedded the gospel. We said, this is what the good news looks like in this situation. We got involved in the kind of the recovery community because, again, we recognized in this center, there's, I don't know, 13 different recovery groups that meet. And we said, you know, that's a huge issue in our community. We need to actually kind of get alongside. And so that's what we began to do. And so with Ian and others who are involved in Hope Connections, what did we do? We began to kind of work out what does it look like to serve and to demonstrate the good news of Jesus Christ. Again, what am I saying? What we did was we listened to the community. We looked at what it looks like. We asked the question, what does the kingdom of God look like when it breaks out in that situation? And we leaned in. We dug in. And my question is, as we think about, you know, what's next and where you guys are going to go, I want to ask you the question, do you know what the community is saying now? Are you aware of the issues? Do you know, for example, that there's and the cause of? And again, I want to sort of say, you know, is that something that we need to lean into? Is that something that we need to sort of say, what does the kingdom of God look like? And can we embed the good news in more and tangible ways? Now, it's not all about projects, and it's not all about kind of building. It is actually about us, though, you know, understanding that there is something together that we can do that individually we can't do in this community. And it's important for us, therefore, to continue to press into the kingdom of God making, creating, releasing activity that the church is about. And I want to encourage you to not stop on that. And the way that you do that is you have to stop. Well, you do have to stop and listen. You have to engage. You can't just assume. You don't know the answers until you actually get amongst the guys. So what that, you know, I want to encourage you to press into that. But I also want to sort of say that the kingdom of God is far bigger than the gathered community of saints. You know, the kingdom of God is all over the place. And I think that one of the things that's going to happen, one of the most interesting things, I think, is that as a church, I think that in the Church of Scotland, I think the church, this church, White Inch Church of Scotland, has always been called to be a groundbreaker, has always called to be someone, a church that actually establishes a different pattern and a different way of doing things. And actually, there are people in the Church of Scotland who are coming behind and who are going to watch and who are going to come and visit and they're going to go, can you tell us how you do this? Can you tell us how you engage in the community? Can you tell us how you sort of see people saved? Can you tell us how you actually kind of see people's lives transformed? Can you tell us? Because we don't do that in the Church of Scotland. It's what they'll say, mostly. So you are a forerunner church, and there will be others who will follow after you, and you have broken the ground and broken the mold, and others will come through because of you. But listen, I want to say this. I want to encourage you to keep pressing on as a forerunner church, because this is the truth. The church is going to change in the next 10 to 20 years across Scotland. It is going to change, And it's going to change because what it's going to do is it is going to reimagine and reemerge into a new and vibrant form. And actually, we're part of that. You're part of that. We're part of that. As we begin to kind of think about what is coming next. And it will be because people understand what I would describe as the seven mountains of influence, the whole range of the kingdom of God impacting on education, on health, on politics, and on business, and on arts, and on the criminal justice system, and on the family. All of these areas of life, which are the big component parts of life, the church is about to drive into and embed itself in and create new kinds of church expression, which are going to touch all sorts of different places and all sorts of different people. And actually, you are perfectly positioned to be able to take a lead in that. You're perfectly positioned to actually help to be the place that actually springboards people out into other spaces. And yes, it's important for us to think about what it looks like for us to be gathered together as a church, and we will. I'm sure you won't stop meeting because it's important that we continue to meet, to worship, to pray, to encourage each other. But listen, actually, increasingly what's going to happen is that there are going to be those of you who are going to be called to be missionaries into your area of culture, whether it's youth work or whether it's kind of arts, whether it's the education, whether it's whatever it is. And actually, we'll be carrying other people in there with us, and then we'll be working out what does the kingdom of God look like here. Not so that they will be brought back into this gathering, but so that you will be equipped to go there and then spring further out beyond that. We are looking at a movement, a release of a missionary movement across Scotland into every area of culture. That's actually what's coming in the next 10, 20 years. And you know about it. You've experienced it. You've lived some of it yourself. And so I encourage you not to hold yourself into the safe space of, we just do church and it looks like this. You know, you have got to be bold. You have got to be courageous, and you have to understand that actually, you know, one of the things we've talked about, it was interesting, we had a conversation in a leadership team over the last month. One of the questions that was being asked was, we talk about the fact that Whitings Church of Scotland is a church planting church. And one of the, it was Ian Hutchison, asked me the question, do you think that that's our calling or your calling, Alan? And I said, it's definitely my calling. But my question to you is it your calling or was it always mine? I think it's yours, but you need to choose. I think you do. I think you're going to have to choose. I think with us off and away and doing other things, you could settle, you could consolidate, you will grow, you will. But the question is not that. The question is, what has God put on your heart, and what's your spiritual DNA? What's your calling as a church? You need to choose. You need to choose. And I'm saying, I think that the next wave of the expansive missionary movement of God is going to be into all these areas of culture, amongst other things. There's going to be other things as well, but that's going to be a key thing. And I just want to say to you today, you know, you need to choose. That's a very important thing for you to hear. Okay, what's the other thing I wanted to say? Yes. So, specifically when I think about embedding the kingdom of God, sorry, I just wanted to come back to one thing. I'm talking about embedding the kingdom of God. One of the things that's happened in Rakese as we've gone across is that there's been certain things that have happened. One of them is we did a survey and there's been information that's come from that. One of the things that happened in the midst of that conversation was this, that we discovered that 41% of the children in Rakese live in poverty. And I am deeply, deeply offended by that. Not just simply as a human being, but actually as a Christian. So for me, one of the things I've been sort of, you know, we've been talking about in Rakese is, you know, how do we address some of this in terms of addressing food and fuel poverty in particular, particularly as it touches the kids? So what does that look like? If you don't know what that looks like is this, that they get fed during the school holiday, during the school, they get fed at dinner school, they'll get the breakfast, they'll get the lunch, and that happens through the week. And then on Friday at lunchtime, they will not have anything cooked for them from Friday lunchtime to Monday morning at breakfast school. What will happen is, when the van comes round, you know, the van that sells ice creams and sweeties and sometimes other things, the van comes round, they'll sort of go, there's a fiver, go and get yourself something from the van. That's what child poverty looks like. That's what it feels like. Can you think about your own children? Can you think about the people that you know? Are you not offended by that? Do you not think that that's not how this should be? That's not how our society should be? That's not how that community should be? And so for me, one of the things I'm sort of saying to the guys in Rakesi is, we can't do everything, but we're going to focus on some things. That's the thing. You know, let's get after that one. In 5 years' time, let's get the number from 41 down. What would that look like? And we're beginning to ask some of those questions. So my question to you is, what's your unacceptable stat? What's the thing that God has put in front of your nose and you've looked at and you've sort of said, this cannot continue. This offends me. This offends God. This cannot continue. It needs to be addressed. And then decide and go after it. The other thing, last kind of couple of things. I want all of the things that we have said that we're trying to do, all of them are impossible. Everything I've just described, impossible. It's not possible. You could do it, and you'll get, you know, that far. All of the things we've talked about are only possible when you rely entirely on God. The only way that you're going to get the resources and the strategy for implementing the kingdom of God is pressing into the presence of God. It will not come through smart people talking to you. It will not come through your own best efforts. And I want to say that I'm sorry that at times that's what I've tried. I know that that's not good. That's part of what was not good about the way that I lead. Sometimes I try and I, you know, want to make things happen. I want to encourage you that the only way that you're going to get this to work is if you press into God. It is only through pressing into the presence of God, only in the place of intimacy will you experience the release of the strategies and the resources and the power of God. And it's the place where actually you will be transformed yourself so that you can then go and do the thing. And so one of the things that that's happened over the last 25 years, whatever it is, a number of years, is this, that at different times we have sought to press into God for more and more of his presence. And we've done that deliberately, and we've kind of pushed ourselves out there. We've tried, you know, we've kind of been involved in Bethel, and we've been involved in kind of, you know, Iris, and we've been involved in this and that and the next thing. Why? Because we recognized that there were some strands of the kind of things that God's doing in other places that were for us. And we wanted more and more of that. The reality is that unless you keep pressing into God, unless you make that your intention, unless you put that as your first priority, all the other stuff doesn't work. And I just, again, I know I've said that to you before, but I just want to reemphasize that is the truth, that's the reality. And so I want to encourage you to push in for more of the Holy Spirit. Push in for God. It's in his presence that everything will be released. So, last words. I kind of thought about this because I was thinking about thank you, sorry, and please. So it's teaspoon. That's what we chose. That's how we teach children how to pray. You sort of say TSP. Thank you, sorry, please. So I want to say a thank you. You know, Dan and I have loved being here. You know, we just love being here. It's just such a privilege. It's been a delight, a joy. The bit that's best by far is watching people coming alive. Thriving, becoming what they are. There are people who aren't here today because they've already gone ahead of you. You know, we're the ones that are here just now. But over the years, you know, we've probably kind of seen, we reckon about 400 or 500 people coming through this church. We tried to do a wee kind of head count and worked out what was on. But there's about sort of a few hundred anyway. And they have been prayed for, encouraged, blessed, resourced, released. And the brilliant part has just been watching it and being part of it. That's been the best bit, by far. And so it's been a joy to do that. So that's a thank you. The sorry is actually just to sort of say, I am sorry for the times where I haven't led well. And I suppose I want to be able to ask you to do some spiritual business with me and with us before we go. And that is to say, would you forgive us? There have been times where we have done the wrong thing, we've said the wrong thing, we've hurt you. There have been. We know that. And you know that. And I just want to encourage you to finish this off now. If you need to, then hear me. I genuinely mean it. We really are sorry. Please forgive us. And would you just close that off so that you wouldn't allow bitterness and unforgiveness to sort of fill your heart? Just if you can do that, then I'd encourage you to do that. And then the final thing is really just to say, thank you. Sorry. Please would you remember these last words. Love one another. Love one another. It's the heart of what we're all about. If you could love one another, then it's amazing. It's amazing how love covers over all sorts of mess. Just having a good heart, actually. I'm sure that's partly why I've kind of survived as long as I have. Because I have a heart that is postured towards you and wants to love you. But if you could love one another. Yeah. So know that we love you. Know that we love you. You know that. But we do. We love you. And today, one of the things that today's good because it's our anniversary. And so one of the things that will be written, I write in the card. Every time I write a card to Diane, I always sort of say, I love you. And I always will. Yeah. And we want to say that to you. We carry you in our hearts, and we do love you, so thank you. Let's pray. Let's take a moment just to pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you've done here in this place and amongst us. And we thank you, Lord, for the fact that you have called us into a loving relationship. Lord, we recognize that there are so many things that are just so good, so amazing, so wonderful. Moments of just sheer joy and also moments of real kind of darkness and difficulty. But Lord, you brought us through all of them. I'm going to pray that, Lord, that this community would be known as one that loves radically, passionately, joyfully. I want to pray that it would express that love in tangible ways in this community, embedding the kingdom of God. I want to pray that it would express it courageously as they step out into the scattered saints amongst the people throughout this city and beyond, so that the kingdom would indeed just increase. I want to pray, Lord God, that all that you have given over this season, over these times, that Lord God, that you, Lord, would just release the fullness of your blessing into every heart and mind. And where there's been hurt and where there's been damage done, Lord, I pray that today forgiveness would be released and all bitterness and unforgiveness would be gone. That today could be a day of finishing, a day of joy, a day of love, a day of thanksgiving. And so, Lord God, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for what you have built. We thank you for the things that you have done amongst us. And we ask, Lord God, that you, Lord Jesus, would receive all the honor and all the glory. This is all about you, Lord. It's all for your name. It's all for your glory. And so, Lord God, we give it to you now and ask, Lord Jesus, you are the King and head of this church. We bow before you and we worship you again. You are the one that we come to celebrate today. You are the one that we give all glory and honor to, for you alone are worthy. For we ask this now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We are going to...